This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Yesterday was the governor's Northern Wisconsin Economic Development Summit, when residents and business owners from the northern part of the state met to talk about important economic issues in that region. Coming up, we'll focus on the need for broadband in northern Wisconsin.
First, we're talking to a WPR reporter who was at that summit yesterday in Trigo. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. Danny, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Well, good. So job creation was a big item, not surprising, at this economic development summit. What kind of job creation challenges are people seeing in northern Wisconsin?
Well, the landscape itself in northern Wisconsin can pose a challenge for development there. There's a lot of public land up here with the national forest. You have county and state forest land, which is also good for the timber industry, and timber and tourism play a big role in the region's economy. But then you also have a lot of wetlands and state or federally protected waters. Plus, the sheer expanse or geography and distance between communities in large cities like Duluth Superior or Wausau or Eau Claire, it can make it difficult to transport goods and services. It takes more time. Also, it's a very rural area where you see fewer people, much lower than that in metro areas like Madison or Milwaukee. And so there are challenges with finding a skilled workforce. And then you have infrastructure needs, too, with roads, rail, bridges, and docks, and all of that can tip the balance for or against economic growth.
We'll dig some more into those details, but this is a conference convened, as I understand it, by Governor Walker. He spoke there. What did he have to say about job creation?
Well, Governor Walker touched a lot on tax and spending cuts and how that's played a role. He touted the fact that property taxes are lower than when he took office, and for the most part, that's true. It can vary somewhat from community to community. He also cited that income taxes are down from where they were 5 years ago, and that's keeping money in the pockets of businesses in the state, and that most businesses in the state don't pay corporate tax. So, regarding regulations and litigation costs, he says that the state's working more with business owners in order to help them through that so that they can avoid costly violations.
Who are some of the stakeholders who attended this conference?
The governor's cabinet, basically almost everyone was there. You had departments like the Department of Administration, the Public Service Commission, WIDA for housing. You also had the Department of Workforce Development. It really ran the gamut.
I mean, how about locals, business leaders and things like that?
As far as locals, I mean, you saw people from across 10 or 11 counties in northern Wisconsin, mostly people representing economic development, but also people representing their counties. A lot of those attendees that were there talked about things that they wanted to see as far as concerns over management of natural resources, because, again, that plays a big role in the timber and tourism industries there. And they also talked a lot about a lack of funding, or what they see as a lack of funding or loans to jumpstart small businesses or help out existing businesses and their ability to grow.
Well, WEDIC, I understand, was there, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. That's kind of their territory, though there's been controversy making loans to related to business, also tax credits. What do we hear from them at this summit?
Well, you're right in that WEDIC has definitely faced a lot of criticism over the last year for giving out millions in loans without formal staff reviews. But they say that there's a variety of programs that they have. They talked a lot about their Main Street Business Program and tax credits, bonds, loans, and grants that they provide to stimulate economic growth, and that they've offered around $245 million in financing. Created roughly 7,500 jobs. And so I spoke with Barb Lemieux. She's the Vice President of Economic and Community Development for WEDIC, and she talked about some of the work that they've been doing with northern Wisconsin communities and responded a little bit to their concerns with economic development there. And as far as loan assistance, she said that their programs, there's really no difference between whether they go to a large or a small company, which had been a concern of some economic development leaders in the north, and that they look to work with regional revolving loan funds for smaller projects under a couple of $100,000. But here's what she had to say about their loan program.
So our loan program in particular is based on job creation and capital investment. So depending upon the size and scope of the project, the value of our loan, you know, would be dependent on that. But we've done loans for companies that have been, under $100,000 if that's what it's needed to get the project to go.
And those capital investments would include equipment upgrades and things like that. So she says basically, you know, if communities don't have the resources, WEDC is happy to step in and provide assistance wherever they can.
Talking to Danielle Kading, WPR reporter based in Superior, about yesterday's summit on economic development in northern Wisconsin, convened by the governor, included his cabinet, business leaders, community leaders from around the area. So speaking of resources, one resource that's got a lot of attention over the past few years around the state, not just northern Wisconsin, human resources. And you mentioned this as an issue up there, having a skilled, trained workforce that can fill jobs should they be created. How did these issues come up in the summit yesterday?
Well, again, you know, northern Wisconsin is generally less populated and the median income here is lower than that of the statewide average. So it's hard to attract skilled workers. And that's what Department of Workforce Development Secretary Reggie Newsom touched on yesterday when I asked him some of the common themes that came up during yesterday's summit. And here's what he had to say.
Workforce, infrastructure. Again, one of the things we heard from the participants is that they want to make sure they have access to quality pool of workers and doing everything we can to make sure that non-traditional pathways in education through tech colleges and work-based learning opportunities in our high schools is really, really important to make sure that we create succession for the future workforce.
So those non-traditional pathways that he talked about, you know, he really talked about utilizing the technical colleges and high schools and how that's important, and cited some of the examples in northern Wisconsin, like the work that Wisconsin Indian Head Technical College is doing along with UW-Superior and North Central Technical College, and that they've been focusing more on trying to meet the needs of employers in the region with things like programming, more specifically welding programs for manufacturing. They've just begun a gerontology program at the technical college to address aging issues in the north, which is going to become more of an issue because there's an aging workforce here, and that's going to require people to fill those gaps as well and to take care of people who are aging out of the workforce.
That's one thing to create jobs here and there and a couple businesses, but a wider goal of economic development tends to be creating an environment that sustains job creation, kind of helps turn into a local job boom if possible. So think that kind of long-term thinking. How did that come up in yesterday's summit?
Well, when you're talking about sustaining economic development or providing that these communities have to ensure that the resources are in place to accommodate growth, whether that's roads or sewer infrastructure, you know, having an adequate education system or housing to allow for new families to move in, or also providing the technology to do business in a digital age. And that was a concern and a priority for Ashland County Board Supervisor Charlie Ortman. I spoke with him at the summit yesterday as well, and here's what he had to say about internet access in the region.
We need broadband. People have tried to locate here that worked on their own houses that needed internet, and they couldn't get fast enough speeds, so they left. And housing was an issue there. There were people, one of the realtors said that he's tried to find houses for people with a more substantial income than was usually there, and there wasn't adequate housing. So they addressed a lot of things that I think if they, you know, do what I hope they will and sincerely try to address the issues, it'll improve things up here.
And Danny, we'll get more into broadband with our next guest, but we've talked to you about infrastructure issues before, a sense that roads are sometimes neglected in state calculations of roadway funding. You mentioned housing there. How about that kind of physical infrastructure? Was that a focus at this summit?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of people in the smaller communities that don't have a lot of resources or have been affected by spending constraints that have been put forth in the last several years are looking for public assistance to help repair infrastructure that has just deteriorated over the years, whether that's dock walls, sea walls, roads in their counties, and also housing. You know, a lot of housing in northern Wisconsin, unfortunately, is dilapidated. You have some slum lords in the areas, too, unfortunately. And, you know, the Superior Mayor, Bruce Hagen, has complained a long time that they've seen people move across the bridge from Superior to Duluth because their housing hasn't met the needs of the people that come to work in the city, and that affects economic development directly because that means that more of their tax base is moving into another state.
Danny, I know there are a bunch of different people with a bunch of different perspectives at this summit, so this may be a tough question to answer, but could you assess the mood? Was there a sense of optimism that, hey, with a little help, maybe from the state, there's room for growth, there's a chance for improvement in the economy in northern Wisconsin?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, Rob, because I was talking to a few people after the summit yesterday, and I kind of expected a lot more skepticism or criticism, just because it's not very often that there's FaceTime with agency heads or government officials in northern Wisconsin. That's been a long-time complaint of people living in the north, that Madison doesn't really care about what's happening in the northern part of the state. But a lot of people at the summit that I talked to were very happy to be able to voice their concerns to agency heads and to know that they were listening, that they were reacting and taking their feedback and hopefully using it to benefit the northern Wisconsin economy.
Danny, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Danielle Kading, WPR's reporter based in Superior, with us to talk about the governor's Northern Wisconsin Economic Development Summit held yesterday in Trigo. We continue our look at yesterday's Northern Wisconsin Economic Development Summit in Trigo. We just heard from WPR reporter Danielle Kading about some of the big issues that came up during that summit. We'll take a closer look now at the importance of broadband internet in northern Wisconsin with Tom Wojciechowski. He is a community natural resource and economic development educator for UW Extension in Ashland County. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Well, as I understand it, at the summit, Governor Walker and others spoke about the need for broadband internet in northern Wisconsin. He announced a plan to expand access to broadband. What are your thoughts? What's your reaction on what the governor had to say?
Well, we're certainly very pleased that broadband got the attention it did at the summit this year. I would take a little takeoff on what Danielle Kading was saying, is that I think we're really happy they're listening. Broadband was brought up a year ago at the summit, and people listened. Funding was increased, and I think it got more prominent play at the summit this year. Very glad about that, but we also, on the other end, we have a long way to go, I guess. So,
yeah, tell us about that. What is access like, or not like, as the case may be, in northern Wisconsin?
You know, it varies greatly. We've got a few major providers up here. One of them, with some of the ERA funding from the feds a few years ago, was able to bury fiber to most of their customers, including Madeline Island, down at La Pointe, actually has 1 gigabyte service available if they want it. We have other parts of the counties that have dial-up, and a lot of them that have DSL, but it's very slow DSL. So it really is across the spectrum, across the not only Ashland County that I work in, but Bayfield County and the others up here. If you take a look at the Link Wisconsin maps, when I pulled up Bayfield and Ashland counties recently, the area that was eligible for these Connect or broadband expansion grants, almost the entire county was eligible. That means that much of our areas do not have the service that we really need.
When a lot of people think about internet access, they might think, okay, well, that's entertainment. It's nice. Your video's slower, things like that. But mm-hmm. economic development people say, no, we need this stuff. This is important for business. Mm-hmm. Why is this important for economic development in your part of the state?
Yeah, you know, this got on our radar about August of 2012. We actually had a business conference with the Wisconsin Innovation Network up here. And we had a panel of presenters who were all working from home. And one of them said, I do business across the nation. I need to send large files. I need to receive large files of graphics, et cetera. This person had 4 employees, I think, and was really a young and energetic, up-and-coming kind of a business, the type we'd love to have up here. Another one of those presenters worked for a multinational company. She needed to be connected with Europe in the morning, Southeast Asia in the evening, and really needed the connections that would make that possible. So that sort of brought it to our attention that, you know, there are a number of jobs in our counties where people are working this way. And we weren't quite sure where the issue was at the time. A year later, we had another panel, and a couple of small businesses were on a panel, and they did almost all of their sales via the Internet, and they did it both nationally and internationally. And those were two examples that really got our attention about this is important for economic development. The other end of it is, and we've heard this through some of our colleagues at the Broadband and E-Commerce Center with Extension, they said, to the younger generation, if your business isn't on the Internet, you don't exist. And that really hit us between the eyes, I guess, that if younger people are looking for, you know, name the business, if they can't find it on their iPhones or their iPads or something like that, they're not going to go there.
Well, I also think people might think, a business that needs the Internet is an Internet business. But I can think of, you know, a factory or a sales force might want online training tools. They might not be a high-tech product themselves, but they'll use that for their services and for their staff.
Absolutely. And with Extension, we've just gotten some of that remote capability. Ashland Area Development Corporation now has some of that equipment. So there's movement, I think, into the opportunity to do that type of training. I think it also gives us the opportunity to not have to travel to Madison, Milwaukee, the cities, or something like that to get the type of training that's available and expected in those areas.
We're talking about broadband access in northern Wisconsin with Tom Wojciechowski. He's with UW Extension in Ashland County. And you mentioned the younger people, whether they need Internet access, high-speed Internet access for their business or not. This is something that people are, in a lot of places, probably taking for granted as a quality of life issue when they're off the job.
Mm-hmm. We're hearing that a lot from tourists, particularly, who are coming up to this area. And it spills over into cell coverage as well. Everyone seems to have their iPhone on them all the time nowadays, or their smartphone. And they just expect to be able to find the restaurant options or the movie options or the hotels or a variety of other things. And when they get to parts of our rural highway system up here and their cell coverage drops out on them, they're a little bit at a loss. So we really need to be able to upgrade the cell coverage as well as broadband. And I think having broadband available at the coffee shops, restaurants, et cetera, is really important to those visitors.
So you're spreading this message, trying to raise awareness. For who? Who is it that needs to be at the table to start solving this?
Yeah, we've got a small group of us that have been meeting since that 2012 event. It involves a couple of the Economic Development Corporation directors, Bayfield, Ashland County, my colleague in Extension from Bayfield County. We've partnered with WITC on some of the events that we've done. They've got some of the training expertise and other capabilities.
The technical college up there?
Correct, yes. And we also need some of the folks from around the state. We've had representatives from the WEDC up here a few times. We've had Public Service Commission up here a few times. Certainly have had a lot of support from the Broadband Economic and E-Commerce Education Center out of Madison. All of those people and more. Oh, and I dare not forget, we've also had our providers at the table. Norvado, CenturyLink, Charter are primary providers up here, and it has been very helpful to have them at the table, talk about issues, figure out how can we all work together on this.
Well, I wonder, you know, if you're in a densely populated area, the numbers are real easy, I imagine, for a provider. We lay fibers underground or whatever. We've got a lot of people who want to pay us money for that service.
Mm-hmm.
In a less populated area, do you need something like subsidies to make that a reality?
Well, a couple of the figures that the providers have provided us quite regularly. One is that up here it costs about $40,000 per mile to bury fiber. So that's one expense, and another number they throw out quite a bit is that in our rural areas, not our communities, but in our rural areas, we've got an average of about 7 homes per square mile. So if you take a look at that cost and you look at the number of possible customers in that area, it's a tough business plan to to make the numbers work. So, yes, I think we really need partnerships between government, the private sector, and anyone else that we can get in to help on this.
And for the speeds people are looking for, I have heard, I don't know if it's true, the only answer really is you're laying cables. Satellite is nice, it can get you decent speeds, but it's not really going to meet the needs that, that people are looking for in the business world.
And the one challenge I've heard with that as well is that there are caps on the amount of data after a certain amount, and that's a challenge. Also, satellite occasionally has problems with rainy weather, etc. That was one of the issues with that very first business person that I mentioned that did business in Europe and in Asia. It was a real disappointment for her when a call would drop or some of her coverage would miss. Her parent company, I think out of Minneapolis, didn't understand that type of dropping in technology. It was a real challenge for her. I believe that's been improved in her case.
So what kind of impact do you think the governor's announced plan yesterday to expand broadband will have on the area? How soon will you see results? What kind of results do you think you'll see?
I haven't seen the entire list of grants yet, but I think Iron County was awarded one. I think Vilas County was, and I think Bayfield County was, as well as Barron. So I think there's several smaller projects in those areas that are going to have immediate improvements by as soon as they can start putting fiber or whatever in the ground next year, or a tower in the case of Iron County, I think. I think one of the things we're looking forward to in Ashland County and other parts of the north is that CenturyLink has accepted what's called CAF II funding. It was from the Federal Communications Commission. And they'll be starting to deploy some of that funding to improve the speeds in their customer base. So I think all of these things coming together, we are hopeful, I think, as your previous guest has said, for the future.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That's Tom Wojciechowski. He's Community Natural Resource and Economic Development Educator for UW Extension in Ashland County. He's with us to talk about broadband internet access in northern Wisconsin.